on the Rebel Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Live from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino. Welcome to the Runnin' Rebels Basketball Coaches Show, brought to you by Chevron. It's proven. No gasoline gets better mileage than Chevron with Techron. Care for your car. And by State Farm. Go with the one that's here to help life go right. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. Now, here are your hosts, John Sandler and Curtis Terry.
Bailiwick here inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino. Great to be with you once again for the Runner Rebel Coaches Show featuring head coach TJ Otzelberger. I am John Sandler. We've got Curtis Terry. We've got Steve Cofield. We got Coach. We're going to have Marvin Coleman. We got Andy Grossman in the house. We got the Boyd family is here. We got everybody tonight. It's great to be here as the Runner Rebels move into sort of the stretch drive in Mountain West Conference play. An exciting, tough, physical, and frustrating night at the Thomas and Mack last night as the Rebels were edged in overtime by Reno, 82-79, a game that saw the Rebels overcome a lot of shooting woes with just effort and intensity to even get it to overtime, but unable to get it done overall. But Curtis, as we've seen really in the last, since conference play has begun, there is no quit, there is no question about the character and heart of this team.
No, without a doubt. That's the one thing that this team always shows and always has in their back pocket. It's just their effort, their grit, their grind, and their will to persevere and push through. Just unfortunately last night needed a couple baskets to go with that. But other than that, I mean, the guys were right there neck and neck with the high-powered offense and had a chance to take them down.
Bring in Coach. I asked you the question last night on the postgame show. I'm going to ask it, try to be a little bit more eloquent this time. Just in terms of the level of frustration, a game like that. First of all, have you ever been through a game like that where you just couldn't make a shot, knowing that one or two shots or a couple of free throws means a victory?
I think there's so many plays in a game like that. As a coach, you go through every block out, every loose ball, every opportunity to contest a shot. Certainly the missed jump shots and free throws stand out as well, but you look at everything and you try to take from that is, how can we get better? How can we not be in this spot again? At the same time, when you find yourself going through the film, you say, oh, if we'd have just had that play, and man, if we'd have just got our two hands on that rebound, that would have changed the outcome of the game. And I think with young people, you try to emphasize how important every play and every possession is. And in a game like that, you find out that it truly is the difference between winning and losing.
And do you get concerned at all about the impact a game like that could have on just the sort of overall psyche of the club? Because they haven't let close games, wins or losses, impact them negatively in any way, whether they're getting too high or too low. And I wouldn't expect it, but any sense of that today?
Well, it hasn't happened yet with our group. You know, we're getting further along in the season. I know our guys, winning's really important, especially in a rivalry game. Coming out with a victory, finding a way to win. We've been fortunate after the start to be on the winning side of a lot of these close games and overtime games over the last 6 weeks or so. So our guys have been accustomed to finding a way to win them. At the same time, you know, with young people, you've got to continue to teach them that it's your daily work habits. It's your commitment to your craft each day. It's that hard work that will lead to those victories. And so that's what we emphasize. That's what we talked about today. In our film session when we had time with our guys, and that's what we'll continue to emphasize. And I don't believe it'll be a deterrent from how hard our guys play or compete as we move forward.
So some of the nuts and bolts from the game. I think you wound up taking 39 threes when you went back and watched on film. How many of those were you like, hey, that was cool, that was a good shot, that was a good open look?
Yeah, I think we talked to our guys going into the game. We knew that they were going to play some zone, and when they played man, that they were going to, you know, sag off a couple guys, and those opportunities would be there. We talked about, you know, you've got to rise up and take those shots with confidence. We know they're going to be available, and we got to knock them down. And, you know, we started the game out, and Amari hits his first one, and Bryce hits his first one, and Marvin hits his first one. And you're in a spot where you're thinking, you know what, like that's the shots that are available. At the same time as the game wears on, you want to try to make sure that it's not just – the shot that's available. It's the best shot per possession. So I can't put a number on it, but, I mean, I think, you know, maybe there was seven or eight of them that on a possession you'd say, you know, we could have probably been a little more patient, but probably 30 of the 39 or slightly more are shots that, you know what, they were there, they were open, we have confidence in our guys to knock them down, and we believe that we'll make those shots, and we need to.
It's your kind of game, Curtis.
Oh, yeah.
You would have taken 15.
If Curtis was on the floor, they would have had 49.
Right? You would have taken 15, 17 by yourself?
Yeah, in this day and age, for sure. I was ready to launch from up there next to John. But we know John doesn't pass.
Yeah, never. You know, for the perception we had watching the game was that most of the looks the Rebels had from three were good. It was the other side. It was on defense where the Rebels, and you mentioned last night after the game, there were a couple of breakdowns late, but for the most part, the Rebels did a terrific job either running Reno off the line or getting through those screens and figuring out a way to not give them good looks from three.
Well, guarding the three-point line is a major point emphasis against their team. They shoot it really well from the perimeter. One of the best, if not best, three-point shooting teams in the league. And I thought we did a good job for the most part. Now, Jazz Johnson's a big-time player, fifth-year senior. He hit a big one at the end of regulation. He hit a big one in overtime. Those are timely shots that have an impact on the game. But I thought for the most part we guarded the three-point line pretty well. And at some point, it's good player on their team stepping up and making big shots in a big moment. It wasn't like they're wide open, unguarded, and, you know, a major defensive breakdown, but just a little bit more of an urgency with active hands or a switch or, you know, can change the fate of those shots as well.
Yeah, and whether it was a little bit of a tease early with the Rebels hitting those threes and then struggling, last night, I didn't get a sense, and Curtis, I think you and I talked about this, the fact that there have been times, and it's natural, that struggles on offense will lead to an impact on the level of effort and execution on defense. We didn't see it last night. No. We saw the Rebels just battle through.
No, and I think that's a good thing, because very easily, if your shots aren't falling, you can get just frustrated and start feeling down, and then that's going to impact your effort and level of intensity defensively. But the guys stuck through it, because obviously the percentages weren't going their way in terms of making shots. But still in the ball game. Only down two at half. Took the lead, midway through the second half, and had a chance to win it in regulation. Then go on to overtime. So, I mean, it's a good thing that they still battled through that and didn't let that impact them, because some teams can miss shots and they can just pack it in and say the heck with it, and then it can be really ugly.
I don't know if any of you got the sense, but we talked about it a little bit during the broadcast. There was a stretch and there were a few moments where it almost turned into kind of match play between Bryce Hamilton and Jalen Harris. Two incredibly skilled offensive talents. Obviously, Harris, a little bit more experienced, a little bit able to get to the rim, maybe a little bit more effectively just because of his size and he's a little bit older. But did you get that sense at any point during the game as they went back and forth?
Well, both guys are certainly prolific scorers. Like you mentioned with Harris, I think he's the most dynamic scoring guard in the league. He's got the size. He's athletic. He's got that poise and that moxie of a veteran player. He knows how to get the ball to the spot he wants to get the shot. Obviously, Bryce, for us, has continued to step forward. There was definitely moments in that game where it feels like they're going back and forth. I know neither is intentionally doing that, but both need to score for their team to be successful. And, you know, to your point earlier in terms of, like, the defensive effort, mm-hmm. And Marvin's really the main reason in the cog to hold everything together, and I'm on him nonstop to kind of keep the guys together, whether it's offensively or defensively, to make sure we always have a plan, and talking to him about his leadership skills, and he does a great job. So, you know, I think when you have players that have great character like that and really want your team to win, they're able to hold it together even in those times where there's a little bit of frustration that creeps in when maybe the shots aren't falling or the offense isn't going the way you'd like.
I was going to say playing experience is a big deal, too, with a guy like Jalen Harris. When they were trying to set up that final shot, I think it was at the end of regulation, and they brought a big out with a pick. I mean, he just blew through everyone, and then, you know, I think it was Marvin who deflected it. And, you know, knocked it up basically up to the glass. But just Harris having the instincts to not, you know, he saw a situation, and then he's downhill, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, he's fast.
Yeah, no, he's a tough cover. I mean, he's at his size. I mean, he's probably the toughest individual guard in the conference, and And with his athleticism and his ability to shoot, we caught – part of it was our guys did a great job. Part of it's probably he missed a few, but he's 0 of 8 from 3 last night and still has 29 points. And on a normal night for him, if he gets 8 threes, he's going to make at least 3, if not 4. And so now you're looking at him, you know, possibly being 40 points. So, again, tough cover, tough assignment, team effort that it takes. And I think our guys are up for it, but – you've got every possession has to matter at a high level, especially against a guy like that.
I want to ask you about one play, and it kind of just stuck in my mind because we don't have the opportunity to see a replay. I know you watched the tape. Right at the end of regulation, the missed free throw, and then when Bryce almost sort of had a chance for a run out, how close was he to being able to pick up that basketball and get up the floor?
It came to him right under 4 seconds. It was like 3-8, 3-6, 3-8. And you feel like had he come up with it, with the momentum the way he was going, he would have been inside the three-point line on the other end, whether it would have ended up being a 15-foot pull-up, but he would have had that shot opportunity if he would have secured it and just kind of bobbled it. It wasn't a lack of effort or energy. It just didn't go his way, but it would have gave him a pretty good look, a shot on goal that would have given us a chance.
Yeah, I just had that sense and that feeling in the moment. But it was a tremendous battle. I think, Curtis, the Rebels, again, showed that, and we've talked about it before, the idea that you get down. The Rebels got up early, but then Reno went out to that 11-point lead, and the Rebels, kind of like the prior game against Fresno, were able to battle back through the first half and get and cut the lead to 2 at halftime.
Yeah, and I can't take that. It's bad for my health.
He stresses.
Coach, I'm up there losing it, man.
He stresses.
Oh, man.
Well, Curtis is our free throw coach, so if any stress that he has, he's been working with the guys. I said specifically, you know, when we were 0 for 6 and I looked over and then we had a couple front end of the bonus, and so Curtis would like to take that on himself.
Yep.
100% just for last night's game.
For sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's good, Kurt.
I want to
way
point
to
out, though, it could have been worse. Like, glass half full. No, seriously. I looked this up, and thanks to Andy Grossman, the archives on UNLVRebels.com. March 1st, 2006, UNLV at New Mexico. Final score, UNLV 39, Lobos 47.
I remember it quite well.
Oh, me too. I hate this. UNLV, we shot as a team 32%. No, I'm sorry, 24% from the field. 17% from three.
It was on the road. That's on the road.
I don't care, but that still eats at me. It's like those games, we shouldn't have been in that without a doubt. But like you said, like, can we get one of those two shots back? I was 3 of 17.
I was going to say, you're going to mention the individual
I'm definitely going to point out. I think about that so many times.
3 of 17.
Yeah, man.
That's what we call volume.
Yeah, that is. That's what you call lack of conscience.
Yeah, you're right. Let it fly.
I tell you what, I remember another game at the Pit not too long ago. Where the Rebels saw New Mexico shoot 25 free throws in the second half, and the Rebels shot 25 fewer than that. 0. And that was one of the more remarkable things. But that kind of stuff occasionally can happen on the road. And stuff you got to be aware of. That's, of course, the next stop for UNLV. Rebels will be at the Pit on Saturday afternoon, a 3 o'clock Las Vegas time tip. And Curtis and I and Steve will have all the action for you at 2:30. Coach, just kind of putting a bow on last night. I know it's a time of year. It's kind of the grind. It's kind of the tough time of year. You're still a little bit of ways from the conference tournament. And when things aren't going great, it can be tough to keep the guys focused. But, again, I don't get a sense there's a problem with this group, in part due to that guy sitting over there, Marvin Coleman.
Yeah, we haven't changed how we've approached work each and every day. We've been on the job. You know, it's going on 11 months now, and that's been consistent, whether it's been our workouts, it's been our practices, it's been our film sessions, whatever it's been, we've approached work that same way. And this is not – I know that we work – I work in a field where the results, everyone gauges success based on right now how many wins and how many losses. That's not how we determine success in our program. Right now it's about we want to win every game, and we are highly competitive, but it is about our culture. It's about our habits. It's about our foundation. It's about our leadership. And I have all the trust in the world, this young man sitting right down here. He and I spent quite a bit of time in my office today talking about what he is, who he is as a leader, as a young man, and how he is going to elevate this program, not in terms of pressure, but because of his character, his work ethic, and how important it is to him back to the level that this program deserves, back to prominence. That's a credit to Marvin Coleman.
Absolutely right. Marvin and Bryce came in before you came in to talk to the media, and we were asking about the end of overtime last shot situation, you know, timeout, no timeout. What was the game plan there? And Marvin took it upon himself and said, hey, that's my fault. That was the miscommunication. It was my fault, though.
Well, I mean, for me, I believe in those situations with your team. It's just always been my opinion that timeouts usually give the defense the advantage far more than the offense. And that you know as a coach where you want the ball to go to a specific player in space or how you want that to be orchestrated. And if you can do that without calling a timeout, because, look, the other team's going to the timeout saying, don't let this guy catch it. And last night a timeout, all of a sudden now it's 1-3-1 or 2-3 or 1-3-1 to 2-3 or deny this pass. And so you give the advantage to the defense in that situation. And look, at the end of it, we had Bryce has scored the ball extremely well for us. In overtime, he has a six-footer in the lane that he makes 80% of the time that didn't fall. On the last possession in overtime, he ended up still getting the ball. Not the timing and the pace that we would have liked, but he still ends up with the ball at 11 seconds at the top of the key in space where, you know what, we have to put the ball in the hands of our best scorers in those situations. We have to trust their judgment. Now, Bryce and I spent some time together today, and he needs to know how confident I am in him and how much I believe in him and how I trust him to make sure he gets the right shot for the team. If we're in that same spot on Saturday, we would do it the same way. And I think for our guys, they have an understanding of what we're trying to accomplish, and I think it's much better if you can do that and you can orchestrate it without calling that timeout and giving that defense the advantage of dictating the play.
And that confidence that the player has, not only in himself, but understands that the coaching staff has in him, that has to elevate him. Because if you catch that basketball in that situation at the top of the key, and one of the thoughts going through your head, if there are any, is, I wonder if I'm supposed to be the guy right now, that can't work.
Well, and Marvin has had multiple times this year where he's hit big shots. Certainly last game against Fresno, but he had one up there, and he's had others. And part of it is a guy that he knows that his coaches believe in him, but he wants to win so badly. It's amazing how the ball seems to find those guys' hands and those opportunities. And it's a credit to what Marvin does every day, and it's a credit to how he's raised. It's a credit to how much he cares about this program and his teammates. And he'll continue to make big shots throughout the course of his career, and I'm really proud of him for it.
Well, we'll look forward to that. We look forward to visiting with him. We'll have him up here in just a little while. We'll take a break right now, come back. More questions for Coach, some questions off our Twitter feed. I know we had a question from the audience, and talk a little bit about getting ready for New Mexico. All that coming up next. You're listening to the T.J. Otzelberger Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Hardy, left side Jonah, into Bryce Hamilton. Hamilton gets fouled, lays it up and in. Great ball movement. A terrific pass from Jonah Antonio to Bryce before Reyes could get set, and he fouls out. A play late in the game where the Rebels were able to get the ball to Bryce Hamilton, posting up down low. Terrific ball movement, and the ball coming in from Jonah Antonio on the wing. Obviously a design play, and Rebels' quickness paid off there. Back here at Bailiwick, inside the Orleans Hotel Casino, John Sandler, Steve Cofield, Curtis Terry, head coach T.J. Otzelberger. As we're talking Runner Rebel basketball, Rebels getting ready for New Mexico, the return of that home-and-home in conference play this Saturday afternoon. And I would imagine the Lobos, who might be the most unpredictable team I've seen in a very long time, they either win by 20 or lose by 20. And I'm not exaggerating. I mean, you look at their season, Coach, since conference play has begun, and I know they've had a lot of players in and out for a variety of reasons. I don't know that I've ever seen a team with mood swings, if you will, as violent as they've been. They've got a lot of talent. It's just a matter of whether that talent shows up every night.
They definitely have a lot of individual talent, one-on-one, and even how they play offensively. They just try to put a guy with a lot of physical ability in space, and kind of go one-on-one and see what happens. They've certainly been a lot more effective at home than on the road, and they've been a team on the road that's struggled to find wins, a team at home that's I don't know what their record is at this point, but I think they've won 14, 15 home games. So we need to make sure that from start to finish that every detail matters. I think we can put ourselves in a spot where our guys on the road continue to build that camaraderie, and I think if we're the more together team and we can, you know, impose our will that way from start to finish, we'll like the outcome.
Yeah, it's a tough place to play. We'll get back to the Lobos in a minute. There are a couple things that I wanted to get to about last night. Jonah, there was a stretch during that game where Jonah was Jonah, and he was Jonah for a longer period of time than he's been since early this season. And I know that's got to make you feel good as you look down the road.
We've seen more and more zones, and even last night with UNR, 1-3-1, they hadn't played against anybody else. We've seen, you know, a lot of these teams basically saying, go ahead and shoot it from the perimeter. And so having Jonah as that threat, when he can come into the game and he can get a couple going in a row, then it makes some more difficult decisions for our opponent. It was good to see him get that energy going yesterday. I thought he did a better job guarding the dribble, was impactful on the glass. So the more he can continue to be that guy and get those opportunities, we need him. And he stepped up and gave us some good energy, made some shots for us.
Do you think we'll see more lineups where he's out there as the power forward? He's actually playing the four and you go really small.
We can, and definitely, you know, when you're playing against zones, you've got to find ways to get more scoring on the court. And Jonah, when he's out there, he commands attention, which opens up gaps and driving lanes a little bit more than when he's not. And it's something that we definitely need to continue to consider doing. We still were able last night, even though we played small, a big portion of the game, came up with 21 offensive rebounds. Now, we didn't convert to the level that we would like with those offensive rebounds, only scoring 14 points off of them. But I guess the point is it didn't feel like we gave up anything to do it. We were still impactful on the offensive glass. We were able to space the floor better. And so each game and situation dictates a different set of variables. But I felt like last night it was the play. And shoot, Jonah, you know, another one or two of those, one late was halfway down, fall, again, totally different game.
Well, I think you mentioned in the postgame that you essentially forced Reno to go small. So you got to dictate the kind of lineups that were out there. Tying it to what's going on in the NBA, the Rockets just said, you know what, all our bigs are gone. We're going all small. Is this where basketball is going?
God, I hope not. I'll say it. God, I hope not, please.
There's definitely, you know, more emphasis being put on the small ball, and you know, teams are downshifting a little bit. There's a lot more 6'6 power forwards that can dribble, pass, and shoot, where the game used to go to, you know, you had these low block centers, you know, 20 years ago with Ewing, Olajuwon, Robinson, and then everyone wanted to play a power forward along with those guys that could step out and shoot jump shots. Now it's kind of shifted, and so with Golden State being effective, you know, playing Draymond Green a lot of times at the front line spot with Houston, it's something that people consider. There's still inherent benefits of having rim protection on the floor, of having physical screening, and I think that's an element as well. So it's, I think with Houston, and I hate to say it this way, it's a little bit of a last-ditch effort, mm-hmm. I think, with their personnel to say, okay, this wasn't working. For whatever reason, we didn't feel like with Capella we were at the level we needed. Let's try something else. Now, I think they were trying to scramble and still maybe think they had a deal in place with DeAndre Jordan. It didn't work out. So I don't think their intention was to not have anybody on the front line. Right. But I think it's definitely a trend that's happening, but for different reasons.
And that leads perfectly into one of the questions we got on our Twitter feed about Mbaké not being on the floor as much last night and you know, what the decision was there to go small.
For Mbaké, you know, his role on our team is to make sure that, you know, he's protecting the rim, he's executing ball screen coverage, he's making energy plays, he's on the offensive glass, and then when we can, find times to try to get him interior touches. Against the zone, it's a little tougher. There's There's more going on. You need more skill out there to move the basketball. You need more cutting and movement and flow and pace. And sometimes that's not to his best advantage. At the end of it, we talked to our guys a great deal about it's each guy's responsibility to play their game to their best of their deal and make their deal work. Make what you do well work for our team, and then, you know, we have some decisions to make. And it just seemed like defensively yesterday we were better in that second half when we switched ball screens 1 through 5 and tried to really guard the three-point line and not get distorted. We were a much better defensive team, so we continue to go with it in the second half.
Let's just run through a couple more questions before we let you take off, Coach. Question about recruiting for next year. Are you done? Is there anything on the horizon? Are you still open? What's the situation there?
Yeah, as the season unfolds, you're continuing to evaluate your roster and your future. We're really confident in the young men, some that we'd signed early, and what they're going to be able, how they're going to be able to impact our program. We're always continuing to recruit, not necessarily for a particular spot, but to continue to see what's out there and evaluate our options.
All right. Last question from Twitter for the night to you. Related, we've got a fan or someone who follows us who's a big stats person, obviously, and wanting to know how the Rebels can become more efficient defensively using stats, I guess, is the basis for that question.
Yeah, I think, you know, from last year to this year, I was looking at the Ken Pomeroy deal today. I think defensively we've improved from like 30 positions. So we've gotten 10 or 15% better. It's not to the level we would like for us to continue to improve. I think that the most important thing defensively is want to and will and togetherness. Those are the dynamics. Yeah, the bigger and more physical you can be and athletic, those are skills that help defensively. We've got to develop more defensive decision-making ability so that guys know when it's time to help or recover, close to a shooter, switch a screen, and those are the skills we're trying to develop each day.
Should we let him go, guys, you think?
Coach?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
He's good? Okay. Coach, as always, appreciate it. And as always, we know you need to get home and see the kids. Also want to say hi to some folks out here. Continued great success, and we'll see you on the way to Albuquerque tomorrow.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
That's head coach T.J. Otzelberger. Take a break. Come back. Marvelous Marvin Coleman will join us up here for the remainder of the show. We'll have that for you when we come back. You're listening to the T.J. Otzelberger Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Ball inbounded to Harris. He brings it into the front court. 13, 12, 11, 10. Harris on the L in UNLV. Himes comes out to set a pick. Harris splits the double team. Harris underneath. His shot is blocked. Ball to Hamilton. He loses the ball, and we're going to overtime. So much good, and just I had to ask Coach that question. I just had the sense that if Bryce was able to pick up the ball and control it, he would have a shot, but didn't work out. Rebels unable to get it done last night, edged in overtime by Reno 82-79, and getting ready to turn the page and head to New Mexico. John Sandler, Curtis Terry, Steve Cofield with you from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino, and now joined by our version of Mr. Clutch, Marvin Coleman. Clutch showing up tonight helping us out, so we appreciate that. Marvin, Coach mentioned the fact that you've hit a couple of big shots, more than a couple of big shots for the Runner Rebels this year, but he referenced the two against Fresno State, and it just flashed my mind. The one you hit up there was before you were Marvin Coleman.
Right.
I mean, you were just Marvin Coleman then. But the one you hit the other day to win it, now you're Marvin Coleman.
Right, right.
So that's a big deal. You've been such a tremendous competitor and really a completely unexpected bonus for the Runner Rebels this year. You knew what you had in you, but I don't think the rest of us did. I mean, Curtis, Steve, I'll ask you guys. I mean, I'm surprised. Are you surprised? That the success?
No, not, of course not.
Of course.
Look at the hair.
Hang me out to dry.
Hair,
go ahead.
Hair, skin tone, jersey number. Come on.
There
man.
You go. Okay. All right.
I said it all along, all last year. I'm like, Marvin Coleman's got to play. Come on. No, I didn't say that.
Yeah, I know.
He surprised me.
He did. And I mean, you know, it's a wonderful surprise. What do you think the key's been to the fact that you were able to step in and just – and you've gotten better and more accustomed and more experience and all that stuff. But from the get-go, when you were handed the keys, frankly, due to Eli's injury. What allowed you to just, you know, hit the ground running?
I think really it was just sticking within myself, you know, not trying to do too much, not trying to do too less, and, you know, just doing everything I can to help my team win. You know, that sounds cliche, but, you know, if it's getting rebounds, stopping guys on defense, you know, taking care of the ball, really it's just, you know, wanting to win and not caring about anything else but winning.
By the way, I will mention one guy who said it often last year, and it was Robert Smith.
Yeah.
And I remember him saying it on the broadcast when you weren't getting a whole lot of time. He's like, Marvin Coleman is going to be a player.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you've known Robert for a long time.
Yeah, I've known him for a very long time. He, I think I was young going to camps at Tarkanian, and he was always there. His sons went to Foothill. Jamal Smith, he's someone I actually look up to. He's playing in Brazil right now. He was big, you know, coming back to Foothill and stuff like that. So Sundays, open gym, I'd play with his son Robbie all the time and stuff like that. So he's just been very close to me.
Have you heard from Jamal at all since all of this has taken place?
Well, I follow Jamal on Instagram, and that's really how we would communicate. You know, I text him every now and then, but, you know, the time difference and stuff like that. So I'd really communicate him through social media. And since the season started, I haven't been on social media as much. And I went off of Instagram and Twitter.
Should we text him right now and let him know how well you're doing?
if you like.
No, we'll take care of that.
He doesn't know yet.
Yeah.
Sleeping under a rock.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Coach has been, I want to say, I mean, emphatic is not strong enough a word. He has been absolutely 100% Marvin Coleman. I mean, he said it here that when Eli comes back, Marvin's a point guard. But not just that. In terms of you being the leader of this team, mm-hmm. you're a sophomore. Mm-hmm. You're a walk-on. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, that stuff doesn't happen that often. Mm-hmm. But he's seen something in you. What does that mean to you that he and I assume the rest of the staff has sort of given you that mantle with an expectation that you'll be able to fulfill it?
It means a lot, you know, for him to come in, first of all, barely even see me play, you know, put me on scholarship. It says a lot about his character, and, you know, I can't take that for granted one bit. You know, I wouldn't be in the position I am, you know, if Coach didn't, you know, give me the opportunity that he did. So, you know, I'm very thankful for that, and I have to think about that all the time, you know. During the summer and at the beginning of the season, you know, it's hard to, you know, sit on the bench and, you know, watch the days go by. But, you know, when you take a step back and actually, you know, look at the situation and, you know, look where I was last year and, you know, where I am now, it's just, you know, I'm blessed.
So I asked Coach earlier, you were here, mm-hmm. about postgame, mm-hmm. and I noticed you came right in and you're like, hey, miscommunication mm-hmm. on that last shot, you know, under 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. Why did you do that? Why did you walk in and feel it was important to say, hey, that's on me?
Because, you know, it's frustrating for me. You know, the fans, the media, you know, everything always goes back to the head coach. You know, oh, coach didn't do this or coach didn't do that. And, you know, a lot of times it's, you know, coach is putting us in the right positions. He's doing, you know, day by day, you know, he eats, sleeps, and breathes, you know, basketball and, you know, gives us the, you know, upper hand for anything we want to do. So, you know, we had multiple things, you know, designed, and I just, you know, it was a miscommunication. I didn't want that to, you know, be on his back, you know, and, you know, I just wanted to take it for myself.
How much did you pick up last year from the leadership of Noah Robotham?
Well, Noah was
I'll tell you, you guys are similar. I'll just break in 1 second before I answer it. Last year, I cannot remember the situation, but the team wasn't shooting the three ball well, mm-hmm. and Noah came into a post-game press conference, and he's like, I believe in my guys. They need to keep shooting the three. Mm-hmm. And there were certain media members who were like, what is he talking about? Mm-hmm. He's insane. They're not shooting it well. And I pulled him aside, you know, I don't know, 4 days later, and he's like, what was I going to do? Mm-hmm. Well, am I supposed to walk in and go, we're terrible from three? I don't want him shooting threes. He's like, that's my role. I need to be a leader, and I need to show public confidence in my guys. Mm-hmm.
Well, Noah was a tremendous leader, you know, on and off the court. He was a fifth-year guy, so I learned a lot from him, you know, just the way he talked to guys, the way he carried himself and stuff like that. So, you know, just his swagger and the way he carried himself is really the most I got from him.
Are we seeing kind of a return maybe to a bit of a Vegas tradition in terms of point guard development coming from local kids? You know, we're starting to – obviously, we've got mm-hmm. Noah, we've got – Marvin sitting here, you've got a couple of guys in the recruiting class who might fill in. Mm-hmm. You know, where local talent, Curtis, at the point guard position, all of a sudden, this might become a little bit of point guard you.
And I love UNLV to death. But point guard you is the University of Arizona. Andy Grossman knows that. I've got to say that. But no.
Come on.
It is.
Really?
Come on, bear down.
Anybody got scissors to cut his mic off?
Cut me off. I mean, hey. I'll argue that to the death just because of my brother. But I think the bigger thing is just guys that have the pride to want to come out here and play. Obviously, position, most important on the basketball court, is point guard. They're the ones who are going to lead the show and take all the heat. All the success is going to come with it, but they're going to be the ones meeting with coach for the long hours and watching film and tasked with delivering that message from coach to each teammate, respectively, how they are able to receive it. It's a good thing that we've got a local guy because Marvin loves the school like nobody else does, and so he can set that tone because once you're selfless and doing it for the right reasons, everybody else will follow suit. And if 100%. This guy can do it, so can everybody else, even if they're not a local kid, because, again, at the end of the day, the people in this community are the ones that support this program. So there's no better person than Marvin to lead the show right now.
Very well said after the Arizona thing.
I mean, Arizona's better than Stanford. We all know that.
In very few things.
Everything.
But we're going to have a chat.
Nope. I talked to you enough, John.
Marvin, the idea of this team being sort of put under you, and Coach jokes about it, but it is actually the fact, and we've talked about it on the show, where if Coach wants to get his point across, more often than not, he's going to get his point across by yelling at you and then having the message go out. And you've said that's fine. And have the guys sort of picked up on that too?
I think so. I feel like, you know, we've just got a good group of guys, and guys that have a lot of character. So when we make mistakes, a lot of the guys know they've already made mistakes. So, you know, it's not – I think Coach, you know, overdoes it sometimes. I don't know if he's still here, but
nah, he's gone. You're good.
But I think he just does that to put more authority in me, But I think we got a good group of guys, and we all get along pretty well. So when anybody, myself or anybody on the team, says anything, it's coming from a good place, So I think just Coach yelling at me puts more authority in me. But our guys as a whole, they know when they make mistakes.
I always wonder what goes on during games, and I asked you about this a couple of weeks ago where, he'll pull you over, you guys have a really quick conversation. Mm-hmm. Last night, I was watching him frantically grab his notebook. He's got this notebook, right?
Yeah.
And he grabs it, and then he just starts scribbling 500 miles an hour. You run over. I'm like, what could he have gotten from that?
No. I was trying to ask him a specific situation on who he wanted in the middle of the court, and he thought I didn't know, whatever, and he admits the game, he's all riled up. So, but I got what he was going, what he was going at. And, that's just how Coach TJ is. You see his energy, it's something to feed off of, really.
And it leads to kind of a broader question about the staff. Mm-hmm. Each guy obviously has different personalities. Have those, and, we tried to get Coach to talk about the other guys on the staff. He won't do it. And we don't want to get you any trouble. But there are distinct personalities on that staff. Mm-hmm. And the specific thing we asked him about were the comments that Coach Buck makes during the game from the bench, usually at the officials or about the officiate. It is just drop-dead funny sometimes.
Yeah, it's hilarious because most of the time they're very sarcastic comments. So it's like, Coach, did you just say that? Or, just certain things. But, I don't know. I love our staff. All four of them, our support staff, our GAs, our managers, we have a good foundation here. And, that's a credit to Coach TJ and, the guys he's brought in. And, it's just a great foundation for us.
Yeah, we want to talk a little bit about the future. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this season's got a long way to go and a lot of work to done. But it's probably our last chance to talk to you this year in this forum. And so we want to talk a little bit about the future. And we'll do that when we come back. We'll go one more extended break, and then we'll come back and have our final segment with Marvin Coleman. You're listening to the Runner Rebel Coaches Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Joan Antonio out top. Hands to Marvin Coleman. Coleman around the right side. Coleman drives. Coleman, tough shot from the baseline. Too tough. Loose ball picked up by Blair. Lays it in. Nick Blair. Nice assist.
Thank you.
Come on, John. I'm too tough. He knew what he was doing.
Mm-hmm. We're at Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino, and we want to thank everybody here. We've got a few more shows, two more shows, I believe, after this, but we have such a great time. Thanks to Mr. Boyd and everybody here at Bailiwick. You do such a great job, and the fans love it. It is an absolutely top-notch place, and great food and drink, great atmosphere, and we really, really appreciate our home away from home here at Bailiwick. John Sandler, Curtis Terry, Steve Cofield with you, along with Marvin Coleman. And as I said, Marvin, I want to talk a little about the future. And again, not saying anything about the rest of the season. A ton of work to do. A lot of success ahead for the Runner Rebels. But you have to be incredibly excited for the future of Runner Rebel basketball and your role. You've got a couple more years left. You've watched Bryce Hamilton take a huge step to becoming that elite scorer that I think we all know he is becoming. And you know, you see Jonah, and when he's healthy, what he can do. You know what Mbaké can do. I'm sure you know a lot of the guys in the recruiting class. If you would, just discuss a little bit your thoughts about the future of this program and the role that you're going to play.
Well, with Coach TJ here, it's the foundation, like I said earlier. It's going to be tremendous regardless who's here. Myself, you know, my role, hopefully, you know, it keeps expanding. And I just want to, you know, be the leader on the court, you know. Make sure everyone gets their touches, the defense is set and stuff like that. But in terms of my teammates, man, Bryce, his ceiling is as high as can be, you know. Jonah, you know, I was happy for him yesterday. He had a great game. You know, if he continues to do stuff like that, and, you know, our transfers that are sitting out right now, David Jenkins, you know, he's one of my, you know, we're very close. Man, he's an unbelievable player. So Moses Wood, and, you know, one thing about Moses, you know, you just watch someone, like, when he came in and, you know, what he's doing now and, you know, the improvement that I've seen in him, you know, he's getting his body right. He's getting, you know, stronger in the weight room. It's just unbelievable the amount of time that, you know, my teammates are investing in the game. So, you know, just regardless, you know, who we play next year, whatever, I know we're going to be successful just because of, you know, our guys' work ethic, you know, how our coaches, you know, treat us each and every day, you know, keep us on top of things, and, you know, the buy-in from our players, that's going to be, you know, the sky's going to be the limit for us.
Curtis, if you were in Marvin's shoes, and you kind of were, you were in a very similar situation under Coach Krueger, in the sense that you knew that you came in as an unknown, you emerged, and then all of a sudden you had the keys. What would you counsel him in terms of getting himself prepared going forward for the remainder of his UNLV career?
And I love Marvin because I see a lot of myself in Marvin, like the experience he's having. I had that 15 years ago. Holy smokes. But I think there's nothing I can tell him that he doesn't already know, but it's just, it comes with experience. A lot of the things that you're going to go through, just continue to embrace everything because even every obstacle and every failure that you have and you guys have as a team, make sure you learn from that and utilize that to be better next time out. Because, again, if the only goal and the main focus is winning, everything else is going to take care of itself as long as you guys are committed to it, working hard, busting your butts in the classroom like you guys are with a 3.25 GPA. Basketball team record. There we go.
Yes,
semester.
Sir.
But, again, as long as you guys are taking care of business, it's going to come. But, again, you just got to put in your time and earn your stripes, even though we're a Nike school. Forget Adidas. But you've got to make sure you earn your stripes, and it's going to come with time. But you've got the right mindset. I love it.
You're in your swoosh.
Yeah, earn your swoosh.
Earn your swoosh.
There you go. But I just embrace it, man. Enjoy it. And this city, as you know, they're going to support you and get behind you, because the biggest thing that matters, in my opinion, to these people is people that come out here, bust their butt, work hard every day, because that drives results, not the flashing lights, not all that glitz and glamour.
Right.
Everything will come in that in due time. But keep killing it, kid.
And you've seen it last couple of home games. I mean, against San Diego State last night against Reno, the crowd was tremendous, and it could only get bigger. It's going to be driven by the success of the team, but I think Curtis is right. The initial sort of buzz has to do with Coach TJ, the work ethic, the discipline, and things like that.
And I talk about it, you know, to the guys all the time, and it's, you know, we love when the fans are there. You know, that's there's no better feeling, you know, running out there, seeing all the people, you know, when we hit big shots, hearing the crowd roaring. And it's just, you know, it's unbelievable. But, you know, we know we're going to continue to do everything we can to win. You know, we say win at everything, you know, in the classroom, on the court, in the community. We're going to continue to do everything we can.
So looking ahead to New Mexico, who are you thinking about defensively, especially off of the first game?
Well, you know, Jaquan Lyles is a matchup. You know, he's similar to Jalen Harris. He's got a big body. He's got a nice frame. So, you know, we're going to do everything we can against him. You know, we got Vance Jackson, Corey Manigault, Hendricks, who comes off the bench, I think, he's a capable shooter. So, you know, we're going to do everything we can. But at the end of the day, we're going to focus on what we need to focus on. And, you know, we're going to go over the scout and do everything with them. But, you know, we got to make sure if we do everything we can and, you know, control what we can control, I'm confident in our abilities.
That was a good diplomatic political
very,
answer. Don't
very well
don't
done.
Share any secrets.
Come on,
Steve.
That. Coach mentioned also that he feels that getting on the road again and coming together, and he spoke specifically about this trip, the team that stays together the most is going to have the best chance to win. New Mexico, as I said, I mean, positively schizophrenic. Mm-hmm. Win by 20, lose by 20. They have a ton of talent. And it's going to be up to you guys to kind of hang together in a tough environment.
Right. 100%. You know, we haven't had our fair share of wins on the road, and, you know, we know that, and we talk about it every single day, especially myself. You know, I hate losing. So, especially on the road, because it's like, you know, you should split your road games, you know, win all your home games. But at the end of the day, like I said, we're going to come in, we're going to do everything we're going to do. We're going to lace our shoes up the same way we lace them up, and, you know, we're going to do everything we can to win.
Guy's got the cliches down.
Cliches are good. Come on, man.
He's got the leadership down. I tell you what, folks, you know, it's hard not to get excited about the future of this Runner Rebel program when you visit with a young man, the quality both on and off the court of Marvin Coleman. And I think we in Las Vegas should be very, very proud and very excited for what's going to happen with this Runner Rebel program going forward. New Mexico, the next opponent, of course, as we wrap things up, the game Saturday afternoon. In the pit, I don't – Wise Pies,
ABQ.
Easy.
What? We're heading to the ABQ.
Yeah, whatever.
The curve.
As the Rebels will go into that hostile environment and try to gain a sweep over the Lobos, you know, they'll be aiming for the Rebels because the Rebels took care of business handily when they were at the Thomas and Mack. But it should be a lot of fun.
Real quick, sir. Do you think Snake's going to greet us when we get there?
Snake will be there.
100%.
Absolutely.
100%. That's the best part about the pit. Let's be real. Snake.
Oh, my gosh. No, well, we're not. No,
it is.
Not.
It is. When he gets there, he's like,
if
you're going to lose.
If that's
lose.
The best part win, about the pit, then you know how bad the pit is. Okay, we'll just leave it at that. The game is Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock Las Vegas time. We'll be on the air at 2:30 with Runner Rebel warm-up. Marvin Coleman, thank you so much for being with us. Continued good success and great luck to you. It's great to have you here and your family as well. Want to thank everybody associated with the broadcast, everybody who came out to see us this evening. We'll talk to you Saturday. For all the guys, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you Saturday from New Mexico. Have a great evening, everyone.
Live from Bailiwick, inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino, you've been listening to the Runnin' Rebels Basketball Coaches Show, brought to you by State Farm. Go with the one that's here to help life go right. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Chevron. It's proven. No gasoline gets better mileage than Chevron with Techron. Care for your car. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Rebel Sports Network.